Well, it's a privilege to talk about joy, because it may be one of the smallest words in the dictionary, but it packs a punch. And if we can only take on what it means, our lives would look so much different, wouldn't they? Well, right at the start, if you don't remember anything else that I say, remember this. It's what I felt the Lord remind me, and I believe it's for you too. I've not called you to endure your life. I've designed you so that you can enjoy your life. Joy is there for the taking. The problem is we try and take it from the wrong source. Kim talked earlier about having the right foundations, but I think this is similar, because real joy starts and ends and is complete in God through the Holy Spirit. I believe he wants us to live in the overflow of that, not just a trickle. And in Psalm 23, which is really poignant, I think, well, certainly for me this year in 2023, it says, "My cup overflows." That is joy. Remember this, that God did not place joy out of our reach or make its presence in our lives dependent on our circumstances. He created joy along with love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to be a product of the relationship we have with him. We don't need to wait for our circumstances to change to experience joy. We can cultivate joy now so that in every season, it's better because of it. But like all of the fruits of the Spirit, we have to intentionally choose it. We can choose joy. His desire is that we receive joy and live out of the fullness of that. In John 15, verse 11, in the NIV Bible, Jesus says, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." But what does he mean, and what does joy really look like and feel like? How can we experience this? Well, over the next few minutes, I'm going to attempt to unpack what is joy, what stops our joy, and how we can cultivate it and keep it going. I propose that joy is a promise, a fruit, and a person. Because it's a promise, it's ours. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which we can cultivate, and it's a person. Jesus is our joy. Now, while we're on earth, but also he's the joy to come. Joy gives us release. Joy is cultivated when we rejoice, and the right source of joy renews our strength. When I mention the word joy, I'm sure there are many images that come to your mind. Joy for me has been holding my children, watching them learn. Sorry, I didn't expect to be given this talk with four of them in the room. And grow, and looking at them sleeping when they were tiny. A couple of our girls would sleep on their fronts with their tiny legs curled under their bottoms. I drew some of them while they were asleep, enjoying their contented purrs and peacefulness. I also associate joy with hearing our first daughter laugh for the first time. Sorry, I wasn't expecting Naomi to be here either. The three-month-old suddenly erupted into laughter, and it was one of those moments that actually took us by surprise. Roger and I were actually in Exmouth, and we'd been staying and sleeping in a history cupboard in a college classroom because we were taking a youth camp in Exmouth. And we had an afternoon off, and the joy of hearing tiny Naomi laugh was the most joyful sound, and it was infectious. But then another joyful occasion comes to mind, the joy of walking down the aisle on my dad's arm to become Mrs. Spires, and remembering to tell myself, don't ever forget this moment. I'll try and get myself together. I wasn't expecting emotion to come out this morning, so forgive me. So let's look at some definitions of joy. Well, the definition of joy in the dictionary is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something good or satisfying. a source of keen pleasure or delight. I'm currently doing a PhD in art and design, looking at how playfulness manifests and how it's represented through visual communication. And one of the scholars, Nina Lieberman, who's written a lot about playfulness in children, identifies that a key characteristic of playfulness in a playful child is manifest joy. In fact, she defines it as bubbling effervescence, which is why I've called the talk that. Something effervescent has bubbles or froth, like a sparkling cider or a bubble bath. Got a little prop. Something effervescent has bubbles or froth, like I said, and this is an energy tablet. Now, what is surprising is it says it's a blackcurrant flavoured effervescence, and it. Sorry? You can hold the glass, Sue, thank you. Now, the thing is about effervescence. That's meant to be blackcurrant. It doesn't look blackcurrant to me. It was rather orange. It doesn't actually taste very nice either, so I'm not going to demonstrate that. But the thing is, the original meaning was actually a boiling rather than bubbling, thanks to the furf part, which means hot. You don't have to stay there.
Can I go now?
You can go and drink it if you like. The word literally refers to bubbles giving off gas. It means any drinks that are nose tickling, effervescent, make bubbles that pop and release into the air. However, I will stress that someone who is bubbly is not just full of gas. So remember this demonstration. The thing is about joy. It not only creates the bubbles, but this tablet infused the actual drink with flavour. And when we activate the joy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we allow his joy, his love, to infuse us. It's not about us, it's about him. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, the words joy, rejoice, or joyful appear 430 times compared with happy or happiness, which appear only 10 times. Joy is lasting, and it satisfies the heart in a unique and marvelous way. John Piper refers to joy as a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Rick Warren gives us this definition of joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Simply put then, biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish his work and through our lives. But I personally like this definition from the late playful scholar and practitioner Bernie de Koven. He said this, joy is overwhelming fun. Fun so big that it overflows your mind, heart, and body, as if all of life and love was spilling into you and you were spilling out. I believe joy is an indicator of life. Well, forgive me now, I'm not going to quote from the Bible, but another book that you may be familiar with, The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham. What are you looking at? Said the rat presently when the edge of their hunger was somewhat dulled and the mole's eyes were able to wander off the tablecloth a little. I am looking, said the mole, at a streak of bubbles that I see travelling along the surface of the water. That is a thing that strikes me as funny. Bubbles? Oh-ho! Said the rat and chirruped cheerily in an inviting sort of way. A broad glistening muzzle showed itself above the edge of the bank, and the otter hauled himself out and shook the water from his coat. Now, one of my joys is running along the canal and riverbanks, and as well as spotting my flying kingfisher, I, along with other walkers and runners, have enjoyed spotting otters swimming in the canal. You know they're there because you see, as mole indicates, there's a streak of bubbles. They're a sign of life. These bubbles indicate life, just as I believe joy is an indicator of life. Now, if you have a fizzy drink and there's no bubbles in it, it's pretty flat. In fact, once a bottle of lemonade or Diet Coke is opened and left for a few days, as we've often discovered, there's not much fizz left inside, is there? And in my role as a journalist, I've learnt a lot of interesting trivia and gathered a few fascinating facts over the years. Now, one of them is a story of Winchcombe physician and scientist Christopher Merritt, who apparently put the fizz into sparkling wine 30 years before the French found out how to do it and created champagne. A handwritten paper in 1662 details his discovery. He describes how sugar and molasses could be added to wines to make them drink brisk and sparkling and give them spirit. I think, wouldn't you like a bit of spirit? So bubbles, the sparkle, are the indication that we have that spirit, which I suggest as a Christian is the Holy Spirit. So we are in fact bubbling effervescence. We're full of spirit. We may not feel it, but that's the truth. And I'm going to look at how we can get those bubbles back later on. But the reason I'm talking about joy today, because this is my journey. It's part of my personal journey in my discovery of joy. And I remember praying, Lord, what does it mean to have, what is the joy of the Lord is my strength? What does that mean? If there are 400 mentions of joy in the Bible, it's important. And I just believe that we need that life-giving joy because others need it. And my prayer journals are full of questions. Some are unanswered. But I just felt the Lord say to me this about what joy is. I asked him, what is it? And I felt him say this. Joy is not about feeling. It's about knowing. It's about choosing what to believe at the time. Joy is an emotion, yes, but it's more than that. It comes from an attitude which you can choose. It is how you react to situations that determines that joy. But it is a gift. It is an indescribable bubbling up within the core of your being that you know has not come from anything of yourself. It is the Holy Spirit, the very life source within you that gives you the strength, the reassurance, and the power to keep going on in your faith. So from this, I take that joy is that bubbling feeling deep within, knowing that you know, that you know, that you know that he loves you. He's on your side. He'll turn whatever situation you're going through for your good and his glory. And it's knowing that you're not alone and that someone loves you and that someone is the very one who made you. Back in July in 2022, I was standing at the side of a pond and watched how a fish bubble rose to the surface before staying there for a while, before it burst, and then it created all these ripples. And I wrote down again what I felt God say at that moment. One bubble of joy can create ripples that expand to encompass those around you. As it bursts, it sends out a powerful whoop to alter the atmosphere and instigate change all around. Keep seeking me, child, for your bubbles of joy will do all I intend for them. And I responded with a prayer, and it said, Holy Spirit, I believe you are playful. Ignite that holy, mischievous, joyful fun, and may I express the bubbling effervescence that Lieberman talked about, a genuine, overflowing joy that's not forced or controlled, but genuine, sourced from you and only you. So the first, what joy gives us is release. In John 10:10, the promise from Jesus is this, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And in John 4:14, when Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for a drink at the well, he talks about the living water that only he can give. He says, those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. In the Passion Translation, it says, a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit springing up and flooding you with endless life. There's a well of joy, spring of living water inside of us. This bubbling up, this joy is a promise. It's a gift. No man can take that joy. We can choose joy. It's a promise. It's a gift. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, it's a person. It's Jesus. He is our joy. So why then do we not experience this joy? If it's a choice, we can choose it. So why are we not doing so? Well, on January the 1st this year, I shared this word, and I believe it's for now, really, releasing the frozen assets to experience joy. The image I had was of these frozen fish bubbles. They weren't reaching the surface like the other bubble I referred to, so they couldn't pop and create the ripples. And this was what I had. And it goes hand in hand with pain. You cannot have joy without pain. Because to experience joy, sometimes you have to go through the pain. Jesus went through pain to get the joy. Tears are my healing waters. I've designed you to cry when you're happy and cry when you're sad, to show you how close the two emotions are. Joy and pain go together. They cannot be separated. Without the pain, you would not fully understand joy. For the joy set before me, I endured pain because I knew what was to come. When you endure pain, know that joy is coming. You may not see it, but I do. And I know when the breakthrough will happen. That is where trust is the hand holding the pain. When the time is right, trust turns into faith. For faith to work, trust has to be there. You cannot have faith in someone if you do not trust them first. But you know me, so trust the pain you are experiencing to me. It won't break you, it will strengthen you, and it will become a ministry to others. I am in the process of unfreezing, unlocking emotions, and it doesn't feel comfortable at times. But in order to release those who are my frozen assets, there has to be an unblocking of emotions. Pain has to be released. Unshed tears often prevent that. So when you cry, know that I'm working, healing, drawing you close, and will release joy. Joy will come. Now, if that's you right now, be encouraged, because as this image shows, the bubbles are there. They haven't gone, they're just frozen. There is a promise of joy on the way. Psalm 30 verse 5 states, "Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." Or in another version it says, "Weeping may stay all night, but by morning, joy." It's time, church, to reclaim that joy, to allow those frozen bubbles to thaw and reach the surface. When the Holy Spirit moves, something has to break. It's time for this joy to break out. It's His joy in us that gives hope to others. So what stops our joy? Anxiety, worry can hinder our joy. But whenever there's a negative, God provides a positive, the antidote. As the psalmist says in Psalm 94, verse 19, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Another hindrance to joy is doubt. Doubt means to be in two minds. It's not the same as unbelief, but if left unchallenged, doubt can lead to unbelief. It is, as poet Cahil Gibran says, "Doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother." It's what we do with our doubts that matters to God. Doubts can lead us to a deeper understanding if we let them. We also need to look out for the things that might dampen those joyful spirits. According to Joyce Meyer, these are: watch out for the joy stealers, gossip, criticism, complaining, fault-finding, and a negative judgmental attitude. Our joy disappears when our hearts are cold, when the environment around us is hostile, disapproving, negative voices, When were we last grateful, thankful? Have our hearts got hardened? Have we not forgiven someone that we once trusted? God wants to release us so that no matter what is around us, nothing and no one can rob that joy. If we love Jesus, joy is our rightful inheritance. But sometimes we have to fight to hold on to it. Life takes out things from us. We leak, don't we? And every time we're worrying, complaining, worried, we're leaking. We need to be filled constantly. We can't rely on Sunday's filling. We also need to be careful with what we fill ourselves with. We can also be our own worst enemy, and the words we think and say about ourselves can deflate us. So how can we cultivate joy then? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and if it's the Lord's desire for us to experience this joy, then what can we do to receive it? Well, the answer has the very word inside it. Rejoice. When we're thankful, it releases joy. When we worship, it releases joy. Because you cannot worry and worship at the same time. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy." Joy is that wellspring that has its origin in the presence of God. That means that God is the true author and giver of real joy. We need to keep worshiping, keeping our eyes fixed on the source of our joy. When we lift up our hearts in worship, we're taking our eyes off the things that bind us, the things that steal our joy, and we're acknowledging how great he is. It involves clearing out cluttered thoughts, making room in our schedule to create some space and stillness where God resides. My heart is that joy will break out. As I said before, when the Holy Spirit is allowed to move, something has to break. Joy can't be contained. It's like this lock. The water is bursting out. It's not draining. This is about liberation. And I thought it looked a bit like the dove when I took the photograph. If you have good news or you've got a new baby, an engagement, you want to share it, don't you? So too does joy come out. So what are the benefits of this stubborn joy? Why do we need it? I believe it gives us strength. Because sometimes life hits us hard and we're overwhelmed, tired, and we feel we don't have the strength to continue. But in Nehemiah 8 verse 10 it says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." I find the following scripture, however, challenging. James 1 verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Joy can give us endurance. Joy comes not because of the trial, but because of the result of the trial. It says, "I don't see a way, but I know you will find a way, Lord." We have the promise that Jesus is right here with us now, but we also have the promise that he is our joy too when we finish this mortal journey. We can take joy in many things and many people, but ultimately they won't satisfy. I believe the source of joy comes from God. I did this illustration to try and show what joy meant. I said about Jesus enduring the cross for the joy set before him. But the joy was us. He wanted us to have that relationship. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and experiencing that joy is not a one-off event. In summary, we need to keep being filled. Every time we thank him for our family, our jobs, our homes, our gifts, our health, we're being filled back up. We need to keep a song in our heart and meditate on God's goodness, not on the news headlines. We need our bubbles not to freeze, but to reach the surface so they make ripples that impact others. We need that jubilant expectation that joy is and will bubble up within us. As I said at the beginning, the Lord says, I've not called you to endure your life. I've designed you so that you can enjoy your life. Joy is there for the taking. So let's choose joy. Keep being filled. Keep singing that song of praise in our hearts and make sure our attitude is one of gratitude. Before I finish, I want to do something prophetic. I have got here a sword of the Spirit. It's a bubble sword. And I just feel that I need to release a bit of joy in the house. Because there's a song that says, there's joy in the house of the Lord, and we won't be quiet. Let us praise him. So I'm going to release some bubbles of joy here, and I'm going to prophetically say, SCF, any believer here, let those bubbles of joy be released in the precious name of Jesus. That was pathetic, wasn't it? I'm going to actually come around the congregation and blow. So thank you for listening. But please, just keep that joy alive because the world out there needs to know that it's real. Amen.
Do you know, I think we...